crank. All right, here, our Father who art in heaven. Okay, we're done with it. Let the wheel spin and we'll come back to the well when we need it. The Lord's Prayer is something Jesus is teaching us to go back to daily, on a daily basis. Jesus is like inviting us, saying, hey, just be with me. Every single day, I have something incredibly good for you if you're willing to be with me. I have something good for you in the midst of a hot mess. I have something good in the midst of just an average, like, Wednesday. I have something good for you, like, on an outstanding Friday. I have something good for you on a really low Tuesday morning. God is inviting us again and again to be with him. And we're at the part in the Lord's Prayer. This is our last part of the series, our last one, where we get to the prayers where it's all about us. We call it the petition prayers. And this is where, as humans, we love this part of the prayer, right? Because petition prayers is what's all about me, all right? It's all about me. I'm number one. Because it goes from, the beginning of the prayers goes from, like, our and yours, and it goes now to me, I, and us. And it's all focused on us. And we thrive in this area. And, you know, that's, and it's not bad. That's a healthy thing, to actually engage with God and ask for things. But there is an intentional way that Jesus sets up, he frames up how we should engage with God, how we should share life with God, how we should converse with God, how we should, what we call, prayer. Because how we see God matters. If we just started with just the me, then everything I'm going to be praying about is going to be fairly selfish. It's going to be just really about me. But Jesus intentionally starts off by saying, our Father. He starts by saying, this is like a recap of the series, by saying the context of our relationship, the basis for our conversation, is that God is our good and heavenly Father, and that we're his kids. And that's how we're supposed to see God, as a good Father, not as some distant being, not some distant, angry Father who's hiding behind the mountain, not some disinterested person, not some disinterested God who's saying, well, there's a lot more needy people over here, so I guess I'll just interrupt you for a second. That we're supposed to see him as a good Father. And then secondly, he goes, hallowed be thy name. That means we're supposed to put God in the ultimate place above all everything else, to put him at the center of our life. And then out of that, he prays that his kingdom would come, like, on earth as it is in heaven, that his will would be done, that we're supposed to pray actually for heaven to come now, that the future would break into the present, that all the things that God loves, all the things that God is fighting for, all the things that God is hungry for, Jesus is almost daring us, saying, will you pray that I win? Will you pray that the things I love, the way that I love your family, the way I love your friends, the way, like, I love, like, Cloquet, will you pray that that would actually, like, happen around you and in you? So if we get to the petition prayers, we pray about us, but we see it through the lens of how God loves us, wants us to put him at the center of our lives, and we're supposed to pray, invite heaven to come into the moment. Well, that changes the way that I see not just God, it's the way I see myself changes. The way I see the world changes. Now my prayers are being affected by what God loves and what he wants. So when Jesus invites us to pray for, like, our daily bread, when he invites us to pray for, like, this whole forgiveness thing, that seems really messy and complicated. When he prays for us to, like, be delivered from evil, now it changes. Now we get to look at our everyday needs. We get to look at how we've been hurt by the world, or hurt by friends, or hurt by a sibling, or hurt by a spouse, or hurt by a boss. And how, when we get tempted with stuff, now we can see it through the lens of the kingdom. And everything changes. Now it's just not based on me, but it's based on how good God is. And here's the best part. Is we get to respond. If it's all about Jesus and how good he is, then our response is worship. Our response is to be thankful. We can be thankful that we can go through every single day, every moment of our lives, every moment of our weeks, every moment of, like, our work day. We can be thankful that God wants to come and give us what we need to not just survive, but to thrive. That he wants us to flourish. So, like, my goal, I'm going to tell you where I would love to end up. My preferred future is in about, like, 30 minutes, in about 25 minutes. I could lie to you and say in about 10 minutes, but hey. Right? So in about 25 minutes, my goal is that we could respond by being thankful. Because the reality is that we're all on a different page. We're all a different story. We all have different things going on. For some of you, Thanksgiving was great. And for some of you, Thanksgiving is never great. Maybe you lost someone recently. Maybe there's a family member or friend that just every time you see them, it hooks your heart and it pulls you into the dark place. Or maybe you just don't have friends. And Thanksgiving just highlights again of how maybe lonely you are. And you might be in a room full of people, but you just feel alone. God has something good for you. He's got something good for every single one of us. In the Lord's Prayer, we see he's saying, will you be with me? So my goal is that we can be with Jesus, and our response, regardless of where we're at, if we're doing great or we're doing horrible, our response can be one of thankfulness. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read the Lord's Prayer. And there's Bibles on the table behind you, right in the back of the auditorium. You can feel free to grab it, and you can follow through. We're going to throw the verse up here on the screen with the page number. You can use your smartphone if you'd like. But before I read it, let me pray. Please join me. So, Jesus, we just invite you to be with us. And thank you, that God, that we can engage the living God like in this moment right now. Thank you that you are available to us, that your kingdom, all the things that you love in heaven, Jesus, we want here, like on earth, but man, like in this auditorium, in our life, in our relationships, in the beautiful things and the dark things, God, will you come and you meet us right where we're at. And I pray for those of us who just have real needs this morning, God, I pray that you'd give us our daily bread. You would sustain us. I pray for those of us here who are dealing with like forgiveness, the things that we've done to other people, the things that have been done to us that just haunt us, God. I pray that you would give us something good. And Jesus, I pray those of us who are dealing with temptation, we feel like that life-controlling habit, that expectation where we could just blow up at any moment. God, I pray you would deliver us from evil. Thank you, Jesus, that we have an option to fight back against the kingdom of darkness and say yes to the kingdom of God, and we do that even now. So we welcome you, Jesus, and we say thank you. Amen. All right, we are reading out of Matthew chapter 6. I believe we start in verse 9, and this is the Lord's Prayer. And again, this is our last time doing this. If you'd like to say it out loud, you're more than welcome to. If you'd just like to read along. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I love that. Deliver us from the evil one. Where we start is this. Father, thanks for the stuff, right? Thanks for the stuff. That's really what Jesus is inviting us into, of like, all the good things in our life, all the good stuff that we have, every single part of it, every square inch of the good stuff is really from God. And James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights." So when we say, you know, God, give us our daily bread, we're praying for a whole lot more than just some toast, right? We're praying more than just like, God, just, you know, give me some food so I can eat today. It is jam-packed with so much more. A guy by the name of Daryl Johnson wrote a book called, actually based off this sermon series, 57 Words That Changed the World. If you want an in-depth view of the Lord's Prayer, it is an outstanding, outstanding book written by Daryl Johnson. He says this, "So what it is that Jesus teaches us to pray for in the fourth petition? For physical bread, for everything necessary for functioning in this world, for everything we need to live a kingdom life, for spiritual sustenance, for Jesus himself, for something of the glorious future when we shall never hunger again." I love that. He's saying, Jesus is inviting us into pray that all the good things, everything you need to like thrive as a woman, everything you need to thrive as a man, as a son, as a daughter, as a husband, as a friend, as a wife, as a grandparent, as a grandkid, everything we need, God is saying, like, I can come because I'm a good father. I can come and give you what you need. So like, what do you have to be thankful for? I don't know if you take time around Thanksgiving to like go around and say what you're thankful for, but like, you're like thankful that you got a meal? Thankful that you might have a job? Like for me, I am so thankful that my wife still laughs at my jokes. She does. I know you're as surprised as I am by your silence. You're like, yeah, I'm surprised. I really only have three. and I stole them from my dad. And she's laughing right now. That's one of them, right? I love that she laughs because she could just tolerate me, right? I am a big fan of people tolerating me. That was a lot of my junior high existence, was people just tolerating me. Oh, hey, Sutter, go in the corner, right? And my wife still loves me. She still shows up. She still shows up, and she's engaged. I'm so thankful for that. It's like, what do you have to be thankful for? Because Jesus is teaching us and inviting us to engage God for every single need, every single one. And some of us, we feel guilty about that. You have a need that comes up, and it might be this huge, like, drastic, desperate need, or it might just be like, oh, I lost my car keys. And we kind of go in two different categories. We go to car keys. Who cares? God doesn't care about my car keys. There's so many more, like, deep, hard things are happening. Why would he care about my car keys? Why would he care about my sore throat? Why would he care about my cancer when everyone else has cancer as well, right? Or we go the other way of like, I am such a mess. There's no way God can help me out. I've already crossed the line. I am a lost cause, so why even try? And God is saying, by daily bread, he's saying, let me come and sustain you in every single thing. I heard this message by a guy named Steve Nicholson, and he was giving this message all about like the little things. He's like, pray about the little things. And he brought up this story of someone losing their keys. And when I heard that, I'm like, okay, Steve. And I know Steve. I'm like, all right, Steve, what? We're going to pray about our keys because like the devil took my keys? Oh, the devil's got our keys, and he's throwing one of the couch cushions. Ah, right? Like that's the devil's plan, all right, is to hide my keys. And I'm like, okay, you're kind of over. You ever been here before? People like over-spiritualizing things. They're like, we got to pray over the car battery that just died. And I'm like, okay, it might just be dead, right? It might not be the devil. And, you know, we could blame the devil for so many things. We really could. But when I was cynical. And he was sharing that story, and I paused. And I thought, why? Why wouldn't God want me to find my keys? Because then I'm saying that my actual need of getting somewhere, God's not interested in. Do I put God in this box of saying, well, God only notices when my need reaches what? Do I get to draw that line? Does God get to draw that line? Does it actually talk about the Bible? Where the, is there a line of what God loves and what he tolerates and what he just ignores? Because if that's the truth, I'm saying he doesn't care about my keys. He doesn't care about my day. He doesn't care about me being able to pick up my kid on time. Then I'm saying there's a God who's really distant, who's not in the present. There's a God who's somewhere else who's saying, just deal with your stuff, Sodder. Don't bother me. I actually had like this like, oh, I think my theology might be a little wrong. Because I went right to that place of like, well, it's just keys. So a little while after that, I came face to face with this. I was driving home with my family, and we were in our lovely old red minivan, and we were coming home from a party. And I'm driving, all of a sudden, my car just stops, won't start. Just like, driving, hey, everyone, we're doing good. And rolls to a stop. And I don't know a lot about cars, but I know that's not a good thing. And so I tried starting it, and it would start, but I couldn't get into gear. And so I knew, because I have a lot of expertise in vehicles, that I knew that it was a transmission. I have no expertise in vehicles. So got it towed, and I went home. And I instantly went to the dark place. Yeah, thank you for laughing, all right? Does anyone else go to the dark place with their cars, all right? And what I mean the dark place is that I didn't just go like, oh, that's unfortunate. I went to, like, the lowest of lows. I went to the place of, like, I'm embarrassed for my kids. What kind of father am I that I can't even, like, put them in a safe vehicle? We're stranded on the side of the road late at night. What kind of dad lets that happen to their kids? And I'm a horrible husband because I can't provide a nice car for my wife. Why is she still laughing at my jokes, right? Like, I went right to the place of, like, I'm a horrible husband, I'm a horrible dad, I'm a horrible man because I don't know how to fix a transmission on the side of the road, right? And I have no value, I have no worth. We don't have enough money to, like, pay for this. And I just went to this all night. I went to this horrible place. And I went to bed and woke up in the morning. And I saw my kids playing outside. My wife had a cup of coffee for me, and she sat down with me. And in that moment, I just felt like God saying, why not pray about it? And I went to the place, kind of like the keys. Like, okay, God, what You're going to heal my transmission, right? There's the kingdom of God going to come and fix it? And I thought, why not? Why, I'm not doing well. I am not good. I am not okay. So for the first time since that happened, I said, God, will you come and help me? I actually started to cry. Like, I need you to come. I'm a mess. I don't want to live this kind of life. And then I was okay. It was still, I knew like that $2,500 like bill was coming. And I'm like, oh, what are we going to do? And then I got the phone call from the transmission shop. And the transmission guy goes, it's never good when they say, hey, I'm really sorry, right? It's like getting a call from the doctor, I'm really sorry. Like, oh, no. Not that I should equate getting a call from a doctor in a transmission place. I apologize. So he goes, I'm really sorry. It's a little more expensive than I thought. And I'm like, okay, here we go. He goes, you know what? It's going to be $300 instead of $200. I thought I could do it for $200. And I started crying. I'm a crier, if you have not known this yet, right? And I'm crying, but I'm not trying to cry on the phone because the transmission guy, you don't cry with transmission guys. So I'm like, oh, thank you. Yes, that sounds perfect. Right? In a voice I would never use. And in that moment, all right, in that moment, I experienced the kingdom of God. Now, do I believe that God came and healed my transmission? I don't know. I really don't know. I believe God could. I believe God, the creator of heaven and earth, could come and like do a transformer bit like burp, 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 to my transmission. I believe he could do that in any time he wanted. But that's not the point. The thing that God healed and fixed was me. It was my heart. He fixed my heart. In that moment, I realized my Father's really good. My Father notices me. My Father loves me, and he wants good things for me. So many times, I'm not willing just to engage with him. Too often, I don't take the time just to say, hey, God, like, can you help me? So how is that for you? Is this something that's easy for you? Is it easy for you to go to God and say, God, today will you give me my daily bread? You see, he says daily. He doesn't say weekly. He doesn't say monthly. He doesn't say yearly. Like, give me my annual bread. Like, there's one time God wants to be good to you. But it's funny, but so many people think this. They think, I better not ask for too much. Like, maybe you had a parent or you had a teacher where if you asked too many times for something to eat, they'd say, now you're done. How dare you ask for a third meal, all right? How dare you ask to go to the bathroom more than two times during the school day? And so you had to, like, play this game. And God is saying, Jesus is inviting us, give me daily bread. He's teaching us, this is how you pray, to ask me for daily bread. Then what's our response? When you experience something good, what's your response? It's thankfulness. So here's my tip. Take time out of your day to be thankful that God gives you what you need. He actually gives us more than we need. Like when the shower comes, when you go in the shower and you turn on the hot water, say thank you. God, thank you that I have hot water today. It works. When your car starts, hey, thanks, God. When like your husband comes home or your kids come home from school or your roommate walks in and they're like smiling at you, when your friend returns a text message and actually wants to hang out with you, say thank you. Thank you to them and also say thank you to God. And become a regular habit in your prayer saying, God, think about what you need. Instead of being ashamed, instead of holding back, say, God, you know what I need today? I need some love. God, you know what I need today? I need someone to notice me. You know what I need today? I need to be humble. You know what I need today, God? I'd love to buy a present for my kid. Whatever it might be, ask God. So give us our day, our daily bread, and our response can be thankfulness. Then Jesus goes on and he says, Father, thanks for forgiveness. Forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Sorry. See, this is a bold prayer because what Jesus is saying is every day, again, every day come to me and ask that all my debts are wiped clean. And the word debt here in the Greek is actually like a very broad word of like all financial debts that might happen. So Jesus is saying all the things that you have accrued, all the things that you have stacked up on your bill, ask me to forgive all of them. Wipe the bill clean. So imagine you, like tomorrow morning, you walk into your bank that your mortgage is at, and you walk in, you say, you know what? I would like you to forgive my debt. And I'd like just this whole mortgage thing, let's just be done with it. You okay with that, Bill? All right? And Bill, the mortgage broker, would say, well, why? Why should I, like, wipe this debt clean? And you say, well, you know what? I'm a good guy. I'm a good gal. I'm pretty good. pretty good. And, you know, I think I could do a whole lot more with this money than give it to you. You know, I could buy, like, cooler pants. I could get some nice, you know, nice shoes. And life would just be a little easier for the old Chris Sauter if I didn't have to pay this big mortgage. And I think I'm worth it. You know, like, when the national anthem is, like, going on, I stand up, put my hand up, I take the hat off, right? That's good. You know, I smile at people, I look them in the eye, I like take my neighbor's garbage can and instead of tipping it over and looking at the guy and pointing, I like bring it to his deck, all right, and do that all in my mind. I don't do it out loud, right? I'm pretty good. And what would the banker say? Exactly. They'd look at you just like that, not say anything. Look at you like, who are you, right? We just charge you an extra $20,000, now get out of here, right? That's probably how it would work. So Jesus is asking us to do that with God. So let's say you walk up to God every day. God, I want you to, like, just all my debts, all the things I've thought about, all the things I've did, you know, even all the things that have been done to me. Let's just, like, even Steven it. Let's just be done. What would God say? If God said why, how would you respond? Right? For some of us, we don't, maybe it's like, oh, yeah, why would God forgive me? Why would God forgive me? Why would he forgive my debts? Would you say, because I'm a really good person. Because I put my hand on the national anthem. I stand up because I look people in the eyes. Because I haven't cheated on my spouse. I haven't, like, I follow, like, a majority of the Ten Commandments. I haven't killed anyone yet, all right? I'm, like, good on that one. I don't steal, all right? I honor my parents when they're around. Right? It's kind of how it works. Is that why God would forgive us our debts? How good we are? No, it has nothing with how good we are. You hear me say this a lot, because I need to be reminded of myself. It's not about me. It's all about how good Jesus is. You know, we use this word in the church called the gospel. And the gospel, it means it's good news. What is so good? What's the good news about Jesus? And here's how I define the gospel. I stole this from a pastor named Tim Keller. And it says, can you throw it up there, Mr. Khan? It says, the gospel is that we are more busted up and broken than we ever dare dream. That as, however bad you think you are, like however broken or dark you think you are, you're actually like way worse. I'm sorry to bring it to you. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. We all kind of say, like people say, oh, like how bad is it? And you kind of like, it's not so bad. I'll play the song, all right? Like we're way more messed up than we ever really dreamt. But the gospel is at the same moment, at the same moment, in Jesus, we are more accepted, we are more alive, we are more beautiful, we are more validated, we are more whole, we have more hope than we ever dared hoped. The key in there is at the same moment in Jesus. The gospel is, no matter how bad we are, we're actually worse, but in Jesus, because of how good he is, we are way better off than we ever, ever could have dreamt of. That's the gospel. So forgiveness is something that God gives us. It's not something that we just get. It's not just something we earn. It's not something we have to go out and like, oh, I got to try harder. So Jesus is asking for us to go to him again and again every single day. God, will you forgive my debts? Because of who Jesus is, what he did on the cross, and how he rose from the grave. He lived a perfect life. Because of him, I can stand before you every single day. Now here's again the problem, right? This is hard. Because like, do we do this every day? Do we take time every single day to say, hey, God, forgive me for all these horrible things that have happened, right? No, a lot of us don't want to remember those things. It might be not something that happened that day. It might have been something that you've done 12 years ago. It might be something that's been done to you like 2 days ago. And what do, as good Americans? We medicate. We push it down. We go, we become busy, we go to a bottle, we go to a website, we get more friends, we get more followers. We do whatever we can, just like be distracted from the pain. And what Jesus is saying is every day, to not be reminded of the pain, but reminding of the beauty and the good and beautiful life that Jesus is inviting us into every day. So here's a tip. I'm giving you a lot of tips today, and you can feel free to write these down if you want, or you can write them down and take all the credit for it too. That's what I do. So, is at the end of your day, driving home from work, sitting down, enjoying a cup of tea, maybe like before your roommates get home or the kids get home, or maybe like before your head hits the pillow, take a couple minutes and ask yourself a series of questions. God, Where did I see you today? Where did I see Jesus today? And like, meditate on that for a little bit. We do that around our dinner table. I wish we did a whole lot more than we actually do. I won't lie to you. We do it every day as a family. No. And it's amazing. When I ask our kids that, they have some beautiful answers to how they saw Jesus. It's like, where did you see Jesus today? Then the next question is, where did you not see Jesus today? Like, when were you, like, not aware of God's presence? And the last one is, like, how are you Jesus today? Who got your best? And who didn't? And the way you answer those questions, the way you dial up between you and God, or it could be you and a friend or you and a partner, that should lead to some things of, oh yeah, God, me yelling at my kids, that's probably not the kingdom come, thy will be done, right? God, will you forgive me of that? Man, the way I thought, the way that I brought judgment on that person as they drove by, the way that I was reminded of that pain of what my dad said to me when I was a little kid. We don't have to hold on to that stuff anymore. God has something good for us. But here's the killer part, all right? Is he goes on and he says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there is this like theological point here. Jesus is giving a really bold statement because he's implying the way that we are forgiven from God, the way we experience forgiveness is as we are forgiving other people. You hear that? The way we experience forgiveness from God is if we are willing to forgive the people around us. And that sounds like a really cool idea, Chris, but it is really hard and complicated because it's almost like we want to stand under the shower of grace. We found this waterfall and we're standing underneath and we're like, yes, God, we get the best of you, woohoo, right? And then all of a sudden, like, the person who hurt you, maybe yesterday or 10 years ago, they walk in, they find, they're like, oh, sweet, a waterfall of God's grace. And you're like, no, you don't, yeah, right? Is that the truth? You're like, no, I get God's best. You don't, you're a jerk, right? Do you like, you cut me off in traffic and I was like 20 minutes late for the last Hunger Games movie because of you, right? People like you shouldn't exist. I get God, not you. And we become referee. We become the judge of who gets God and who doesn't. And what Jesus is inviting us into, a kingdom life, is that he's saying, hey, yeah, you'll experience grace and forgiveness as you are forgiving the people around you. So you hear that. How about this? When I hear that, I usually go to a try harder message again. Okay, I gotta forgive. Like, there was this guy named Mike from when we were young that really, really hurt my wife and I. I tell this story often, right? I won't go into it, but he hurt us really bad, really bad. And I tried forgiving him just by, okay, I'm gonna forgive him. Okay, don't think about setting his car on fire. All right, all right? And that's like, that's forgiveness. That's not forgiveness, all right? And so what I had to learn how to do was forgiveness is something supernatural. The way I experience forgiveness to God is something God depositing in me. How I forgive other people is by what? God depositing something in me. Paul says in Colossians 2:6, just in the same way you came to know Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, continue to do so. And the way that we say it around here is the way in with God is the way on with God. The way in is the way on. You came to know Jesus as what? As him coming and filling up with his kingdom and his spirit, giving you like a, what we call a new creation. And the way you continue on is by doing it again and again. Not like getting born again, not getting like whatever word you want to call. I love saying born again because like born again, all right? It's not like doing that every day. It's about going back to God and saying, God, you have to put something good in me. So how do you forgive someone else? You have to go to God and say, God, you have to come and put forgiveness in me for my partner. You have to come put forgiveness in me for my kids. Because what I want to give them is a whole lot of Chris. But I know what you're inviting me to is to love them. What you're inviting me to is to forgive them. In a little bit, we're going to have an opportunity to actually walk through some forgiveness. And some of you like are starting to sweat. You're like, oh, no, 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 no. But you know what? Like, why should we respond? How is this a thankful part of the message, a thankful part of the prayer? Is this, because no longer does that memory get to dictate who you are anymore. Let me say it again. No longer those words that were spoken over you as a teenager get to tell you who you are anymore. No longer that thing that you did that you never tell anyone, or you like make it sound actually like better than it really was, doesn't get to tell you who you are anymore. No longer when you're at like Walmart and you see like Jerry walk down the aisle and you're like, Jerry, going this way, all right? No one gets to dictate your emotions. No one gets to dictate who you are. No one gets to push you around emotionally, intellectually, mentally, or spiritually anymore. Because God has what you need. He's saying, forgive me as I forgive others. That means there's hope for you. And we can be thankful that they don't get to tell us who we are anymore. And that is powerful. That's not just powerful, that is life-giving. And the last one is this. Father, thanks for the protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. What he is saying, I'm gonna make this really quick. This is what I want it to mean. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I want that to mean, God, all the bad things in the world, all the things that like tempt me, all the evil, can you just like move it somewhere else? Like, okay, let's just put it in Holyoke, right? There's somewhere like the woods, right? Because I want to walk around this earth. I want like my own little bubble of everything I see is like unicorns and like ponies and puppy and laughter. Like, that's like all my conversations are just giggling, all right? Actually, that would not be fun. That would actually be horrible. Put that in a Holyoke too. So, I wish that's what God was saying. You know what Jesus is teaching us? Is that life is hard. Like, life is super hard. And he's saying, get ready. Lead us not temptation, deliver us from evil. Jesus is telling us to be prepared, to get ready. In 1 Peter 4:12, it says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange was happening to you. What Peter is saying is, like, don't, like, say, like, this is so strange, I'm getting attacked. It's so strange that there's evil in this world. It's so strange that I'm being tested by all these complicated things. He's saying, yeah, no, expect it. There's pain. There's pain. Get ready. And really, he used the word test. What's a test mean? A test reveals what you know to be true. A test exposes what you know. I had one of my best friends just take a huge test, and she passed, right? Why? Because she put the work into it. She studied. She prepared. She was like knowledgeable what she had to do. She anticipated what the answers needed to be. So when the test came, her response was, I know what to do. The Lord's Prayer, lead us not temptation, means this. As kingdom people, as followers of Jesus, we are to be people who anticipate that we're going to be tempted, not surprised. We should anticipate that there's going to be opportunities for us to cave, to compromise, to be angry, to respond with hate, to respond with lust, to respond with jealousy, to respond with gossip. And he's saying, yeah, it's going to happen. So you ready? Lead me not in temptation means when the temptation comes, don't let it consume me. Don't let it just like swallow me. Instead, I could see it for what it is and deliver me from evil, that I walk and say yes to the kingdom. That we should not be surprised. We should be anticipating and ready for it and praying every single day. Lead me not into temptation of eating the third piece of better than sex chocolate cake, right? I want that. I know I want that. Don't let that temptation take over me. Lead me not into the temptation of that when my boss, like, who's just like, just all over me, looking over my shoulder, making critiques on everything I do, nothing is good enough. When they walk out, lead me not into the temptation of ripping them back up and down with my colleagues. Gossip. Lead me not into the temptation of when my kids don't perform. To like slam, you ever been this dad before? I had this dad, and we were like, oh, listen to me. Like the slamming of the table makes all things right, right? It doesn't work, trust me, right? Because what does that do? It just gets the results, doesn't win their heart. Doesn't win their heart, just wins their attention. Lead me not into temptation. So what are you tempted with? I have a friend named Brenda Gatlin, and she said, Chris, we got to get smarter than the enemy. Like, there's a kingdom of darkness, there is an enemy, and the enemy just doesn't want to, like, irritate you. The enemy just doesn't want to, like, bother you. The enemy wants to kill you and destroy you, wants to bring you down to your knees. And Jesus is saying, every day, Chris, will you pray, God, don't let me be tempted. Don't let me be consumed by the tempted. I know the temptation will come, but it will not win. It will not tell me who I am. It will not destroy me or my family. It will not take over my legacy. It will not take over my story of who I am. And what am I doing? Deliver me from evil means I say yes to the kingdom. And you have a choice. You know the worst time to say this prayer? of leading me not in temptation is when you're in the back seat of the car with someone you're not supposed to be in the back seat of the car with, right? Like when things are hot and heavy, and when they're not supposed to be hot and heavy, that's like the worst time. Like, oh, yes, lead me not in temptation. I'm already there. He's saying, be ready. Like, do you know what your temptation is? You could pray that out loud. And then the part we get to be thankful for is that we can say yes to the kingdom. We can say yes to everything God taught us in the Lord's Prayer, and he will set us free. He has an answer. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray over us. And before we stand up, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do, just to put you at ease so you're not standing up and you already feel like you have to do what I'm inviting you into. I'm going to invite some people to come actually up to the front. And we're going to keep our ministry, like our prayer ministry people, just in like standing with us and allow them to respond as well. And I already know what you're thinking. Who in their right mind would walk up in front of a room of strangers up to the front where we're going to pray? But I really feel that there's some people here, some things that we've talked about or implied, that's you. And you feel like you are hungry for God to come meet like an everyday single need. It might be your lost keys. It might be the sore throat. It might be that your marriage is a wreck. It might be financial. Some people are here and you feel like the forgiveness, there's something that has been done to you or that you've done, you just cannot escape. It haunts you. Or maybe there's someone here or in your life that you just cannot receive forgiveness from, you can't offer forgiveness, you can't forgive yourself. And the third one, there's people here where like that life-controlling habit, that temptation, even the idea of being tempted consumes all of your attention, all of your energy, all of your money, all of your best. And Jesus is saying, stop. Hallow my name, put me at the center. Let me deliver you from evil. There is hope for you today. There's hope. You don't have to wait. There's hope. So let's stand up and I'll pray. So God, we just say thank you. Thank you that you're our Father and that you're good. And you see us as your children. Thank you that when we put you in the right context, the right place, the hallowed part, the highest place, God, that you're honored. And we ask that now that your kingdom would come close. Tomorrow would become today. Heaven would crash into the kingdom of Chris, the kingdom of us. And I pray, God, that you would highlight, help us just to be real. Help us to be maybe honest. Instead of playing the game of distancing ourselves from our needs or forgiveness or our temptations, instead of just playing the game of, it's not that bad, or I'm already too messed up, I ask Holy Spirit right now, everyone in the balcony, all of us here in the auditorium, even the people who are listening to the podcast, God, you would come and you'd highlight where we're in need. And I speak to the lie. I speak to some of you right now, you're that lie that says you're already too messed up. I say no in the name of Jesus. We say no. We break that lie off. We say no. So thank you for coming to the Cloquet Vineyard and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.